Hello, friends. Mark Gladman slash Brother Frederick James, your friendly neighbourhood monk in docks here. Welcome to Monk on the Mic, the Monk in Docks podcast, episode 8A. Finding Earth, a conversation about connection with Rhiannon Henry. Now, I first met Rhiannon, gosh, maybe 18 months ago, maybe even longer, on Instagram. And the other day, I was talking, perhaps in one of my stories, about how I've been doing a lot of work over the last sort of 12 months or so in looking at the connection between Taoism, Australian Indigenous spirituality, and ancient Celtic Christian spirituality with Christianity, and looking at how that might shape and form my own practice spiritually and being Christian. And of the obvious connection between all these three things, if you know anything about one of them or all of them, is that all of them have an intent interest with our connection to nature and the natural elements, our connection to earth, water, fire, air, wood, and metal. And I've been looking at, you know, Jesus' teaching in particular, and a little bit of Paul, about how Jesus kept calling us back to look at the earth. I mean, right now we're in the midst of Lent, and Lent began with Ash Wednesday, and Ash Wednesday began with someone saying, "You are made of dust, and to dust you shall return." And our whole creation story, and in the story that comes from the Hebrew scriptures, is that this God creates human beings with the dust of the earth and blows breath, ruach in Hebrew, which literally means wind or spirit, and animates the person. So right there, we have this connection to the elements of air and earth. We're made up of 90% water. Why is it that we find water so beautiful to lay in and bathe in and sit beside and watch? And all these things speak to us about our connection to nature. Well, Rhiannon saw this, and I didn't know this, but in her work as an acupuncturist and herbalist, she also has studied a lot of ancient Chinese medicine, and that is incorporated as part of her practice. And of course, ancient Chinese medicine is connected to Taoism. And so she started talking about how all of the elements are interlocked and intertwined, and they relate to one another in different ways, and how this speaks to how when we bring those elements into balance, we can really help our hearts, our spirits, our physical bodies, and our minds, our emotions as well. And I thought, you know, this is interesting because we have different language for what is, at its core, really, really similar things. And I thought it'd be interesting to have a conversation and allow Rhiannon, from her position, she's not a Christian, and, you know, she's been studying this ancient Chinese medicine for over a decade now and practicing it for that time as well, and to hear her tell and talk about it. And you'll hear in this conversation how there are so many cross-pollinizations, I suppose, and links. You know, she's using different language to talk about things that are so similar to my experience as a Christian, and maybe your experience if you've come from another place. And I think there's something awesome about opening ourselves up to the possibility of seeing truth in other places that aren't necessarily within our own traditions. Someone once said, all truth is God's truth. And if that's true, then wherever we see truth, whether it be within our own faith or religion or philosophy, in science, or wherever it is, there's something we can learn from that and embrace that in order to help us to live better. And so in this conversation, we're going to talk about the connection to elements, what the elements are. We're going to look at how these elements work together and practically talk about what that looks like from Rhiannon's practice. As you know, how do we bring these elements back to balance in our own lives for our physical, spiritual, and emotional health? And I'm sure what you're going to hear are some wonderful suggestions and things to explore about how that works. And at the very end, she does a meditation, teaches us a meditation about 15 minutes, which is called the Taoist 1 to 10 meditation, which is a meditation in grounding ourselves to nature through a meditation. And so if you're driving and you get to the 50 minute mark, just be careful, or maybe pull over or stop it. And the reason why this is episode 8A is because episode 8B is going to be a standalone of that meditation. So if you enjoy doing that meditation with Rhiannon at the end of this episode and you want to do it as a standalone meditation and come back to it regularly, you'll be able to jump straight into Monk on the Mic episode 8B and just do the meditation with Rhiannon leading it there. So there you go. I hope you enjoy this episode. Come at it with an open mind and an open heart. Listen very carefully. Think deeper than the surface and start to see how some of this truth might be ringing through. You might have been calling it different things, thinking about it in different ways, but there's still something evident here which I think is important about who we are as humans and why right across humanity there is this yearning to connect with the elements of Earth in so many different ways, why all of us are called to make those connections again and again and again. And so here we go with Monk on the Mic, episode 8A, with Rhiannon Henry, Finding Earth, a conversation about connection. I hope you enjoy it. Rhiannon Henry, welcome to the Monk on the Mic podcast. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. And thank you so much for giving us your time all the way over there on the west coast of the United States.
On the other side of the world. Love it.
Well, it's technology. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I keep saying that this is kind of like, you know, once we understand that we are all one in spirit, that technology's finally caught up with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And added the other bits to it as well. So we're talking about the elements, and you and I, this came up because I had talked about how I was getting into looking at the spiritual connection from a Christian perspective between who we are and the earth and the different elements of earth. And you dropped in and said, hey, don't forget this element, and which was cool, which turned into this huge conversation. And then you started going, but it's like this, and they're all intertwined with this, and I've got to show you this meditation. And I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm going, I have to get this woman on my podcast to talk about this. Because even though you come from a different place and a different understanding and view of all these things, I think what you have to share is can really enrich all of us, no matter where we are, knowing full well that, as we talked about and we'll probably get to, in many of these things we'll talk about, science is finally going, oh, yeah, this works because we now know that X, Y, Z, because we can actually measure it now. And so that it's worked for all these centuries is a bit of a given. Mm-hmm. But before we jump into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about, really quickly, your journey to this point and how it was that you started to explore the connection between humans and the elements of that we have around us and how all that works. What brought you to that place?
Well, I started as an athlete, a collegiate athlete in the U.S., you know, Division I volleyball, track and field, and my parents were competitive athletes as well. So I was always really connected to my body and the power that it could create and what could be done, you know, with the human form.
Right.
And my mother, when I was about 12 years old, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was in the early 90s, and they recommended chemotherapy. And she's like, well, wait a second. Like, this is, at the time, it was really just, it still is bringing you up to the edge of death, you know, to get rid of the thing that's killing you. But then it was much even more difficult. And so she went and looked for other options, and she found a Chinese doctor, acupuncturist and herbalist. So in the U.S. and I think in Australia too, the training for acupuncture is both herbal medicine and herbal pharmacology, and acupuncture and body work and energy work and all the things that are traditionally included in acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So long story short, she found a herbal formula that stopped her cancer from growing. And she told her oncologist, she's like, you know, I don't want to do chemotherapy. I'm going to look for a different way. And so they did biopsies and a combination of biopsies, and then the herbal medicine that she found, it's actually called Essiac tea. You can still buy it over the counter. It's pretty incredible stuff. And her cancer stopped growing once she got her herbal formula right. And so the doctors were able to get ahead of the biopsies and mammograms, and I grew up with her making her cancer tea in the kitchen,
Right.
like every day, for years, and it smelled horrible because, like, it smelled horrible. And I was like, "Mom, it's so gross." And she's like, "I don't care. I have to drink it." And now we call it pond water, and it's still in the fridge. She still drinks. But we can put the I love to put the referral for anybody who needs that in the it's not technically a referral, it's just a the anecdotal evidence for SEACT is pretty strong. Anyway, put that in the show notes. But it got me thinking about plants as medicine and thinking differently about what medicine can do, what alternative medicine can do. And interestingly, fast forward 20 years later, I'm finished my teaching credential, finished my kinesiology degree, and was working in a physical therapy clinic, and started joined an Archangel's meditation group.
Right.
And started interacting with the patients in my physical therapy clinic, and started seeing energy in the treatment room after I'd doing these angelic meditations. So I'm kind of taking pieces from many different traditions, and ended up in Chinese medicine school as an acupuncturist.
Right.
And it just was a complete reorganization of my understanding of reality.
Sure.
Learning the basis of Chinese medicine is the five elements and yin and yang. And for people out there, I'm going to say it yang because they've beat it out of me to say it the right way. You can say yang or yang, but my teachers made me say yang.
Every Australian walking around going, Yang, mate.
Yang,
Yes.
yang.
Yang sounds so much more formal.
It's kind of more formal. It is more formal, but so I pronounce it yang because all
Okay.
my teachers made me say yang. But it's the translation of yang is actually the sunny side of the hill,
Right.
and the translation of yin is actually the shady side of the hill.
Right. Okay.
And it's all of the qualities that would be on the shady side of the hill versus all of the qualities that would be on the sunny side of the hill. And so yang is warm, dry, hot. It's brittle. Yin is wet and damp and mossy and cool and dark and downward moving. And then we get into fire and water, and now we're in the elements. So in Chinese medicine, there are five elements. Earth, in order, and they go in an order. There's a generating cycle and a controlling cycle. And this is where you and I, Mark, got into a conversation about what these elements are, how they interact with each other. And the
Yeah.
Taoists just had it down, and it is infallible. Like it exists everywhere you look. It exists in your body, it exists in nature, it exists in the chair that's sitting there. It exists in the house that you're sitting in. It exists in the light bulb, especially. Like, I love using the analogy of light bulbs and lamps because they're the interaction of fire and water, especially a lamp, like an old school lamp, like an oil lamp. And I'm not sure. There's so many places I want to go with this, but the five elements of Chinese medicine are earth. In order, earth, metal, water, wood, and fire. Fire generates earth. Earth generates metal. Metal generates water. Water generates wood. Wood generates fire. there's an example for each one of those things. Obviously, wood, you light the wood on fire, you get a fire. At the bottom of the fire is ash, that becomes earth. And inside the earth, you find the elements of metal, like the periodic table of elements. If you go all the way down to the molecular level, you have H2O, which is water. And from water nourishes the plant kingdom of wood. And again, around you go from wood to fire. So ideally, each of those elements are in balance and they are, arguably they are always in a very meta perspective of like all of the Tao. Everything that's happening everywhere is always in perfect balance because yin will always balance yang.
And so what, but what you're saying though is that when the balance gets out, that's when we find the breakdown in nature, in our bodies and other
Absolutely.
places. That's where we're going. So
Exactly.
before we jump forward, I just want to take a step
Okay.
back and touch on a couple of things there, because one of the things you said, you were talking about nutrition and how, you're talking about eating right. And people could say, well, but I mean, it was Hippocrates, the great, 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 great grandparent of modern medicine, who said, let your food be your medicine.
And your medicine be thy food.
And it's only now that doctors are finally coming around to saying, yeah, one of the best things that you can do for yourself is eat well. Although, not that I'm against pharmaceuticals at all, but I would say there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies that would hope that you will continue not to eat well, because they'll be able to sell you more of the stuff that they're producing, to try and,
Exactly.
again, to try and balance that out when we could be eating to do something similar. And I know I have my own story about that too. So really what you've got there are these elements. And within Chinese medicine, you're saying earth, metal, water, wood, and fire. What happens to things like, I mean, a lot of people talk about air as being an element. Are there other elements that you've explored that aren't necessarily within the, and we'll come back to those within the context of your work, but are there other elements out there that we can see in it, like air? Is that an element that,
Air, yes, so definitely. And there, that's the only other one I've seen.
oh, okay.
Most sy most systems, most ancient systems or indigenous people, systems from the indigenous peoples of spiritual understanding don't necessarily include metal. They typically include air instead. And every region of indigenous people has a slightly different. Now I'm a white girl, I learned this from my Chinese teachers. But I try to honor the ancient wisdom because it's fading away. And I think that we have to bring it back in order to keep it alive. And so the
One of
fact
the
that we're talking about this on this podcast is fantastic.
yeah, well, remember when we talked and I shared you a little bit about our local indigenous people here? And the conversations that I've had with elders of different tribal group. We have 100 and I think it's 140 or 170 indigenous nations in our country. All of them talk about a connection to country. All of them talk about this connection and their relationship with the earth, their stories of origins in Australia, that we call them the dreaming stories. The stories of the dreaming are there to help us understand our connection to place, to planet, to each other. And so there's a real health in that. And what's really interesting, coming from a Christian background and starting to have a look at how those things are told in that context, is that the stories of Jewish origin, the Jewish origin stories, which Christians have appropriated, to be fair, really talk about those sorts of connections. A God makes a human out of dust, breathes air into the lungs of that human. And so the stories there really do talk about this connection we have with nature. And as we were talking about before, and may come up later too, the studies that have done, we, you know, for me, you know, being barefoot and practicing grounding and seeing the scientific research that's been done on the importance of, for our health, to literally grounding ourselves on the planet, which sounds so basic and simple, but there's something about being connected to the earth, taking a swim, standing outside and breathing the air that brings us alive. It's no wonder the Celtic Christians embrace this. It's no wonder Jesus used those examples. It's no wonder our indigenous people, and what I'm hearing you talking about is that within Chinese medicine and from that Taoist philosophy has come this way of finding health that is connected to those elements.
Absolutely. And the understanding of those elements is essential to understanding your health.
Okay, so
Because
let
you were talking about food, and interestingly, I'm just a little side note. Foods actually fall into each of these categories of elements as well.
Right.
So you
Okay.
can eat according to your elemental balance or imbalance.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about those connections and those balances then. What's the best way to do that? Do we work through them one by one, or how do we go?
Let's see. I think we've talked about a lot of different things so far, as far as like, it's like, hey, we got our smorgasbord, we got everything set out. Which one do we want to pick? I actually want to go back to the grounding piece, because
Okay.
the way that we can tie this all together is between, modern science and the importance of negative ions from water, from, the ocean. We're seeing that, or
Right.
the importance of having sunlight in your eyes first thing in the morning to help your body regulate its melatonin and cortisol balances. The importance of having your feet on the ground. Well, what does all this matter in Chinese medicine terms? It's like you are an electric, alive human being full of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that Holy Spirit is everywhere, especially in the air that we breathe. And so, just like God breathed life into humanity, like we can actually tonify, quote unquote, tonify or add to our experience of the divine through things like breath work
Right.
and breathing in specific ways that changes our brain chemistry and our blood chemistry. So that we have direct experiences of a higher consciousness, higher level of awareness, and direct experiences of the divine just through doing breath work.
Right.
It's not only does it good for our body, but and for our blood and for our lungs and for our liver, which I go on and on with my patients about the relationship between metal and wood. So
Right.
like I said, that there was a and I'm always recommending breath work for stress
Okay.
because of the location of the liver in relation to the diaphragm.
Right.
Okay. So each of the organs has its own association with the elements.
Okay.
And the I try to think of the elements as categories instead of like, some acupuncturists are like, oh, you have too much fire, you have too much liver fire, and they keep it in TCM language. You have too much liver fire, it's rising to assault the heart and disturbing your spirit. Okay, well, what does that mean to a person who doesn't speak the same language
Yeah.
that you do? Right? But to think of them as categories, especially when we were talking about them in relation to your body and to your health, and choosing activities that can help find balance in the human system. So I was going to talk about breath work. The lungs and the large intestine are associated with the element of metal, and the liver and the gallbladder are associated with the element of wood.
Right.
And just like there's a generating cycle from fire to earth to metal to water to wood and back to fire, there's also a controlling cycle from metal to wood, just like an axe chops down a tree, from wood to earth, just like the wood, the roots of a the roots of a tree or the roots of a plant would hold the banks of a river in place.
Right.
from earth to water, just like the banks of the river control you actually put the water, keep the water in, going in the one direction or another. And then water to fire, obviously water puts out fire, and fire to metal, because you can forge metal in the hot fire. You get to control metal through heating it up with fire. So the ancient Taoist doctors looked at, sages looked at the natural world around them and realized that their internal world was matching their external world.
Right.
And okay, how does a plant interact with the earth? And I honestly don't know. It's still kind of a mystery how they figured out which organs go with which elements,
Okay.
but they nailed it.
Right.
And each organ is responsible for a different function in your body, both energetically and emotionally. So it's an incredibly complex way of understanding yourself and understanding how essentially the Holy Spirit or Qi, like I feel like I could translate the different types of Qi into different level, like the Divine Trinity,
Right.
like we were talking about in our previous
Yeah.
conversation.
Yeah.
There's three different like dense types of chi, or chi is loosely translated as energy, but it's actually more like potential, life potential. Like, what
Right.
could this be?
Okay.
And it's running through your body, and it's running through everything. Everything has chi. Food has chi in it.
Right.
And so when you choose different, and food has different types of chi in it, right? So there's spicy foods. Well, if you have a lot of inflammation in your body, you're not going to choose spicy foods or alcohol because now you're putting fire on fire.
Right, okay.
You're making your situation worse.
Right.
And if anybody has questions on exactly what is good for them, I suggest people find a local acupuncturist. They won't be able to answer your questions. And where were we going with this?
You can by eating your food, you're talking about the relationship between chi and the
Different
Trinity. The un
the oh
Christians
yeah different
Trinity.
types different types of different types of chi. So chi is everywhere. It's in your food, it's in your water, it's in the medications that you take, it's in the herbs that you take, it's in your supplements. Anything that I think has exchanged water and breath, or water and air, throughout its course of living, it has chi in it. And
Right.
something obviously that's been sitting on the shelf for 2 years has less chi in it than something that just came off the ground.
Right.
And so we're interacting with our world now on purpose to cultivate the amount of life force that we have.
Which, I mean, it's a couple of years ago, you would have said that somewhere, and people would go, oh, woo-woo, this is a bit super spiro. But science would go, it's obvious. You take something out of the ground, it's going to have more living energy in it than if you stick it on the shelf
More
for weeks,
nutrition,
or if
just
you
more nutrition.
process it. Or whatever. That's absolutely common sense that that would be the case. And so
Exactly.
what I keep hearing is that even if you just want to embrace the sorts of things you're talking about at a metaphorical level, even if that's as far as you go, it still makes absolute sense. But what is happening is that science is discovering that this is the actual deal. You're saying before, if you've got inflammation and you're eating chili and drinking alcohol, you're just going to exasperate it. Any nutritionist would go, that's exactly right. But what you're saying is that, Chinese medicine for a very long time has been saying that's putting fire on fire. You're just going to make it worse.
Thousands of years.
Yeah. And of course, we think fire on fire, but when you think about it, that makes sense. If you put fire on
It's
fire, you
inflammation
make
on
a bigger
inflammation.
fire.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You literally put alcohol on an inflammatory disease, you get more of the inflammatory disease.
So what I'm guessing is if you want to help the inflammatory disease, you need to find nutrition that's going to put water on fire.
Exactly. Or
So,
earth,
oh,
because earth
okay, of
also
course.
controls fire.
All right. So what sort of things would fall under those categories in terms of food?
It's interesting. The first thing that pops into my head is magnesium, honestly. And that's actually in the metal category. A metal nourishes water. So now if you're nourishing water and then you have more water in the system, you're able to put the fire out. And the other pop the situation that comes into mind is it's classic water fire imbalance is menopause.
Right.
You run out of the yin force in your body and you get heat flashes and night sweats.
Right.
And you get mood disturbances. I think any of the husbands out there that have gone through their wife's menopause, like they're looking at a different person, you know? And the balance of yin, especially for women, which is rest, which most of us don't do,
Right.
lots of water, like actually drinking water, tonifying foods like bone broth, tonifying blood, tonifying yin, bone broth, organ meats, meats, foods that actually look like a seed, or look like a womb, or look like an organ, like a squash. Kind of looks like a liver. If you were to look at them next to it, they'd have the same shape. You
Right.
know, some things that are growing in the ground or coming or growing near the ground, on a vine are typically tonifying yin and earth
Okay.
because that's where they grow, that's where they live. So cucumbers, another example. Anybody can Google foods that tonify yin, foods that tonify each one of these, but it's also important that you know what your imbalance is, and that's why I suggest people to go to find their local acupuncturist because everybody's going to be different. But one thing I did want to go back to was that Jing Qi and Shen. So there's three different types of Qi. There's Jing, Jing, Qi, Qi, or Chi, and Shen, Shen. And the Jing is like the densest, like the gross level, the subtle level, and the causal level. Also, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. So, Jesus in the flesh, that gross physical body of ours. The Holy Spirit of Chi that's everywhere and moving through everything. And then actual source, like the causal level of things, God.
That's Shen.
And Shen. That's the Shen is our spirit, translated
Right.
to spirit. And
Wow.
it's interesting, like each one of us. The chi is what's moving through our channels and moving through our organs and nourishing our body while we're alive. And as we run out of that, we go from like we have a lot of jing when we're a baby. We got all this jing. We got all this life force. We're going to use it all up throughout our whole lives. We get every human being gets one what gets a certain amount of jing, and that jing throughout your life is transformed into chi, and then you use up that chi, and then as you run out of chi, your life and your spirit gets closer and closer to God, and you spend more time in the spirit realm and the Shen realm.
Whoa.
And then as you're about to leave your body and go rejoin God, rejoin spirit, rejoin source, you've just elevated through the level of the Shen.
Man, this like I was saying in the intro, the similarities, us and the cross-pollination here, just this is the understanding it for me through two Middle Eastern religions, Judaism and the teachings of Jesus, and this is the teachings from further east, where coming from that Taoist place, which those of people who are listening who follow me long enough know that there is I have an intense interest in those overlaps, hence part of the reason why I knew our conversation would be so interesting, and. You know, none of that is new either. Like I was saying, you know, Orthodox monks to Baptist pastors in Marshall Davis, who has his own work, did his PhD on the relationship between Christianity and Taoism, a Baptist pastor. So, you know, there's these wonderful connections. Talk to us a little bit, Rhiannon, please, about how our connection to the elements. So we talked about eating, and we talked a little bit about the concept of grounding, that is being connected to earth. How do we connect ourselves to the other elements? So obviously, water would be drinking and
Or even
bathing
spending
somehow.
time with water, even
Yeah.
spending time near water,
Right.
and studying how water moves. I mean, it's the, that's what the, that's what the ancient Taoist sages did. They just observed nature.
Okay.
And they said, okay, well, what does water do? In the when it's exposed to cold, it condenses and gets smaller. Well, the same thing happens when your body, when cold enters your body, it creates stagnation by condensing fluid.
Right.
So these different elements, there's pathogenic factors in Chinese medicine too. There's, you know, that are it's not necessarily appropriate. That's not necessarily where we're going with this conversation, but there's pathogenic factors, and then there's the heat, cold, phlegm, damp, dryness. Basically, what happens when these elements are out of balance within your system? And I do want to go back to the grounding piece at one point, but it's like what happens when these elements are out of balance in your system? So you can go and watch water. You can go just be and close your eyes and listen to the sound of water. There's actually, and then there's Qigong, which loosely translates to energy work. Qi is energy, gong is work.
Yeah.
And it looks like Tai Chi. If anybody's ever seen the practice of Qigong, it looks almost identical to Tai Chi. Except that when you speed up Tai Chi, it becomes actually a martial art. And it's like used to harm people if you need to.
Right.
But Qigong is purely meditative movement.
Right.
And that's actually the meditation that we're going to be doing later in this episode. Is the basis of Qigong practice. It's called the Taoist 1 through 10 meditation. And it's the meditation that you would do before any type of energy work or Qigong.
Right.
And I do it every single time before I start a patient session on, you know, here in my office. And it's very classically taught. Well, I hope it's classically taught, fingers crossed. Every acupuncturist needs this meditation. They don't have it, they have to get it somewhere. But it's a beautiful way of rooting and grounding into the earth, connecting your energy of your human body, your chi, to the energy of the earth on purpose with the use of your mind, opening up to the heavenly realms of spirit and connecting and balancing both of those energies through your body on
Right.
purpose.
Yep. And this is part of the reason why, just going back to the elements again, you would spend time with water, grounding. How do you spend time with metal?
That's a good question. Tai Chi sword. So a
Okay.
sword practice.
All right.
That's another way that you could, it really honestly, using your voice to express your boundaries.
How does that relate to metal?
Because metal is like it's the armor of your
Right.
body. It's the
Okay.
armor of your system. It's the boundary of like the shield that in it's called the Wei Qi in Chinese medicine. There's different types of qi, but and that the lungs, the large intestine, and the skin actually are all in the element of metal. And it's that boundary. The skin is also breathes, and actually that's part of that Taoist 1 through 10 meditation that we're going to go through. This you're breathing, start to breathe in through the skin, but the skin is actually very porous. It's also the biggest organ that we have in our body,
That's right.
and it breathes, it sweats, it excretes. It's one of our main organs of our immune system because everything comes up against our skin. It has its own microbiome. Most people don't know that. It's pretty freaking cool. All these different orifices and different parts of our bodies have their own different microbiome, which is our immune system, which is our boundary to the world.
Right.
Now, large intestine actually, and your whole digestive tract is actually like, if you think of it on a very simplistic term, it's a It's like a hole in a donut. The
Righto.
opening of the hole is in your mouth, and the other opening of the hole is your anus.
Okay.
So the outside, when you're eating, you're taking information from the outside world and all the bacteria that's involved in that, and you put it in your body, and you actually have an quote ex like external environment in your digestive system, and that's that microbiome then informs your gut brain connection and your ability to make serotonin and all kinds of different things. So the boundary actually of your digestive tract is also epithelial lining, and the integrity of your epithelial lining of digestive tract is also a boundary. So when people have inflammatory bowel disease of whatever sort of kind it is, it's actually a boundary issue.
Right. Right.
And this is where it comes into, well, it's a boundary issue. It can be hormonal. There's a lot of pieces in there, but essentially it's a degradation of the skin of the mucosal lining of the digestive tract at some point, whether it be up high or down low. And to resolve that, you have to repair the skin. You have to repair the element of metal.
Right.
And most of the time, I've seen in my practice that many people, and I've talked to a lot of acupuncturists that would agree with this, many people who have inflammatory bowel disease have a real hard time speaking their boundaries.
Okay. Oh.
And there's correlations like that in Chinese medicine, or they have a real hard time letting go, which is a function of the colon, the large intestine, the colon.
Right.
And so we get into these beautiful, poetic, deep understandings of humanity when we dive into how the elements help us understand ourselves.
That's amazing. And even again, we could start off by going, hey, wait, you're talking about that if I'm, not working my colon well, it's partly because I have this emotional issue or this boundary issue. But when you think about how external stresses, external environments often affect our physical being, our
They
emotional
have to.
affects our physical, something happens and we feel sick in the stomach.
Yep. Great example.
That's just a very simple example, but you can see how, if you want to take it further, you would discover that. You said you wanted to have a go back to grounding for a moment.
Yeah, grounding. Okay, so if we're understanding ourselves as electric, I call it the human energetics, because
Okay.
there's human anatomy and there's the anatomy of our energy body as well, and our chi, like the life force, the Holy Spirit that moves through us. Actually, the ancient Taoists found the map of exactly how that happens.
Right.
And exactly where those points are, and exactly where those channels are, and exactly the direction this part of the chi body moves in this direction, and the Holy Spirit comes down. It's interesting. Okay, here's a cool thing. All of the yang channels, yang is heaven, right? All of the heavenly energies and the divine spirit. The yin is earth. We're
Right.
here standing on the earth. All of the yang channels, yang is associated with heaven, yin is associated with earth. All of the yang channels move down the body from heaven across the front of the body, down the protective surfaces, all of the energy that's mo literally moving down from heaven towards earth. All of the yin energy and all of the yin channels in the body, and this is where we're going to get into grounding. The yin energy comes from the earth, rises up the inside tracks of the body up into the body. So yang, heaven, is always descending into the body, and earth is always ascending into the body.
All right.
And that interaction of descending yang and ascending yin is that yin yang symbol that you see that turns over itself all the time. It's those two, the white
Oh,
fish and the dark fish.
okay.
And that's all that's happening in our body. Now, the least amount of stagnation or obstruction that we have in our physical body and our energy body, the more that interaction between earth and heaven can function,
Right.
and the more healthy we are.
Right.
And that's really our
Which,
job, is to get rid of that stagnation and that blockage.
as we were saying when we talked a week or so ago, the whole thing with grounding now, I mean, when that guy sort of realized, wait, I'm actually feeling better, by spending some time with the earth and then triggered
Oh,
those
tell the
scientific.
story though. Tell the
Oh,
story.
yeah.
That's
So I'll put a link to the documentary on YouTube about this. But this guy used to be a cable. He was a cable guy in the 60s in the US, and he moved up the ranks and had this knowledge and understanding of how it worked. And they realized that if you send a cable into the house, but you don't ground the cable, the reception's terrible. So they had to ground every single cable. And then later on, he made his fortune by pretty much inventing the dial-up modem. And so he left work, but he I think he had a heart attack, and he was really, really sick. And he sold up everything because it obviously wasn't bringing him health or happiness, got in his van and took off. And one day noticed all these people who'd walked out of a Nike factory outlet. So this is, in the early 80s now. So Nike's in its, youth. And they're all wearing brand new Nikes with the great big rubber soles. And he started to think, that's they're not grounded. And then he started to think, well, I wonder if my reception could be better, my health could be better if I grounded myself. So
The
that
antenna
day,
reception, right?
he literally went out. He was staying in a hotel. He literally went out and he bought some metal sticky tape and a nail, a big nail, and some wire. He put the metal on the blanket on the bed and then hooked the wire up to the metal tape and then ran the metal tape out the window and put the nail in the ground. And he slept on that for the night and woke up the next day and felt $1 million and said, "This is crazy. This can't be right, but there's something about this that I can't ignore." Went to a university and said, "I would like to do this study." And because he wasn't even technically a scientist, I don't think, and said, "I want to talk to someone about doing this." And he got laughed out of all these places till eventually a scientist took pity on him and said, "Look, I'll humor you." They did the research and suddenly go, "Wait, the findings that we're getting here on all these people are just too real to ignore." And that's where they started to realize this science behind literally standing on the earth barefoot or laying on the earth or putting your hands in the ground and how it reconnects us and is good for our health. And what's interesting is this guy started to remember stories of his youth. He grew up on a Native American reservation, and he would be told all the time, "Oh, run around bare feet. Why? Because you'll be able to feel the earth and you'll be able to connect to the earth." And he suddenly realized why this was so important to those people. It wasn't just about physical connection to their place or country, as our Indigenous people in Australia would call it, but there's also this health factor where you're connected to Earth. We're in the season of Lent as this goes to air here in, in the Christian tradition. And of course, we start Lent with Ash Wednesday, where you literally have ashes put on your forehead and you're told, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And if you go and read studies about the elements, and I think everybody knows this now, the elements that we have in our human body that aren't water are literally the same elements you find in dirt and in stars. We're literally made of stardust, if you want to get technical. And so there's this connection that you start to understand when you realize that that is from what you've come. And of course, there's this yearning, I think, within us, both physically and spiritually, to return to source, not necessarily by dying and turning back to dust, which will all happen to us at some point, but even while we're alive, to maintain that connection, which is why, for I think most human beings, even if they can't stand being out in nature or camping or hiking or any of those types of things, just the idea of sitting outside in the sun on your deck, of putting your feet on grass, of putting your hands in soil and planting something, of laying in water, of watching the river go by. All of these things we've talked about reconnect us to those elements, which bring not just spiritual nourishment and healing and connection. Because if, as you say, from a Christian perspective, again, if we understand God as Paul Tillich put it, the ground of all being, that God is the thread, if you like, that links and sews the tapestry of this world, and we are all made of this same thread, then to be connected to each other is a given. To isolate ourselves is not going to be healthy. So connecting ourselves to each other and to the earth in so many different ways, there is this yearning to return to that. And what you've been talking about is that science is now saying the physical responses are also just as positive and just as good for us. Nutrition, connecting to
Being
the
connected to
outdoors.
the earth, you know, I think your example of grounding of the studies that they have been that they've done to essentially decrease inflammation, just like we were saying about earth controlling fire. That's exactly what it is. And the grounding shoes that they have now that they make, that you can buy shoes, you can walk around barefoot, which is great. There's a point on the very bottom of the sole of the foot. I wanted to mention this. It's the lowest point on the body is kidney one. It's called bubbling spring. There's a highest point on the body, which is D20. It's on the very top of the very, very tippy top of the crown of the head. And that's where the tippy top of the head is where it's called 100 gatherings of the like 100 celestial gatherings, where the celestial energy comes in, where the heavenly energy comes into the body. And the bubbling spring on the bottom of the foot is where all of the earthly energy enters the body. And so when we're barefoot on the earth, or when we're on a grounding sheet, they make grounding sheets now. I don't know if you know that. Like you can buy the sheet with the metal in it for your bed and plug it into the wall and ground it that way. But you're connecting the subtle energetic system of your physical body to the earth directly, and it increases your capacity for conduction of energy and chi and life force and connection to God. I loved what you said a second ago, returning to source, by remembering that we're made of stardust. You know, we're made of this earth. All of the elements on a cellular level, like all of the carbon that we're made of, you know, came from Earth, which came from this solar system, which came from who knows where billions of years ago. So, like, if we want to connect with all that is, really, we have a direct access to that in our own, like, we're living it. We're living, literally living in it. And to take time to meditate and to take time to feel the way that your breath, God's breath, moves through your body. God's body. All we have to do is witness it, and it's right there.
Yeah, so good. So good. So we're going to do a meditation. You did mention it before, but just remind us again, what will we be doing in this meditation? And it's only like 10 minutes or so, right?
It's about 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
But I do, it's nice to kind of get the thinking part out of the way.
Yep.
It's called the Taoist 1 through 10.
Okay.
And one is fun. There are three golden smiles that will go down your body. Two is shoe. You're going to imagine that your shoes are butter and the butter is melting into the earth. Three is tree. The feet become tree roots and they grow down and will guide you through all this. Four is core. As you drop your tree roots down into the earth, the earth energy then can reciprocate because everything goes in one direction, down and up, always yin and yang. So as you're dropping your awareness down into the earth reciprocates back up into your body. Five, alive, that earth energy is enlivening your physical body. Six is thick, and then like you can fill the room that you're in with that energy from the earth, like a big thick cloud. Or what I like to another I the image that I'm probably going to use is like a pool goes on at night. So if you've ever seen like a swimming pool at night and you turn on the lights in the swimming pool and the whole swimming pool lights up all at the same time, like that's kind of that we'll play with that image a little bit. Seven's heaven. We're gonna grow. Imagine that we're growing like a big giant all the way up to heaven, all the way up until we're looking out above the clouds. Eight is gate, And this has to do with the skin and our ability to accept divine inspiration.
Okay.
So I love that the element of metal and the breath is such a great correlation between divine inspiration and breathing in God. I love it so much. And then nine is shine.
Right.
We're going to shine, mix the energy of the heaven, mix the energy of the heaven and the earth, and then put our intention on it, shine it out into the world. And then 10 is actually begin, because this is a preparatory meditation to anything else that you do. So if you do it in the morning, it's a preparatory, and it's like a hookup meditation. You know, you do it before you do energy work, you do it before you do acupuncture, you do it before you do any sort of work. I actually do this before I study. I did it before I was studying for my board exams.
Right.
You know, before you did a podcast, before you, even before you cook dinner for your family.
All right.
You know, the food is a medicine. So you want to infuse the love of your heart and the blessings of God and the breath and the energy of the earth through your body into anything that you're doing with your hands.
Right.
Okay. So, ready?
We're ready. Let's do
this. Okay, great. So if you're sitting in a chair, it's best to do this sitting in a chair. You move yourself forward to the edge of the chair so that your hips are sitting on the edge of the chair and you're not sitting back in the chair. If that's uncomfortable for you, then you can sit back in the chair, but prop yourself up with a pillow so that your spine is not as upright as it can be. And your feet should be flat on the ground, barefoot preferred. So you can spread your toes out and wiggle them around. If you do this outside, it's excellent to get your bare feet on the earth. That's really the golden ticket there. But if you're inside, you can do it inside too. You just have to use your imagination a little bit more. So feet are under the knees, knees are 90 degrees with the hips, sitting up nice and tall. And your hands can be resting on your knees. I like to put my palms face up. You can do palms face up or face down, whichever is more comfortable for you. And we're going to begin with one is fun. Imagining a great big golden smile, just full of joy and happiness and ease, blessings from God, blessings from the Great Spirit, blessings from the Great Tao. And wash down over your forehead and your face, relaxing all the tissues. Across your throat and your collarbones, and your chest and your shoulders, the fronts of your arms and your abdomen, across the front of your hips, the tops of your legs, across your knees and down your shins, washing down the front of your feet and down into the ground. Put a second golden smile on the back of your head, right above your head. You want to have that wash down the back of your head and neck, across the back of your shoulders. Physically relax your shoulders a little bit, because most of us hold tension in our shoulders. Washing down our back, taking away anything that might be in the backs of our minds or kind of pressing on us from the day. Letting it go. Across the backs of our hips, spreading out your hips under the chair. Continues across your glutes and your hamstrings, the backs of your thighs, the backs of your knees, your calves, and down the back, washing back down the back of your heels into the earth. All the way down into the earth. Get familiar with that, what that space below you feels like. Nice. The third golden smile appears right at the top of your head, right in the center. And it's going nice and big as your body. These smiles should be nice and big. Washing down through the center of your head, through your neck and your jaw, your shoulders and your lungs, straight to the center of your heart space, taking a big golden smile washing through the entire abdomen, the hips, the organs, the center of your thigh bones, the knees, down through the calves and lower legs, out the bottoms of the ankles and the bottoms of the feet, down into the earth, all the way down below you, becoming aware again of the space below your body. Great way to ground the mind. To issue, I'm going to imagine that our feet are actually giant pats of butter, and that butter is being warmed by the sun. And as that sun is warming, the feet and the butter melt down into the earth, nice and easy and gentle, just naturally merging feet with the earth itself. Kind of sinks in. Sinks down. Three is tree. We're going to imagine that our feet now become tree roots. Those tree roots are going to grow down into that softened earth that the butter just softened up for us. Tree roots growing easily down in front of us, at least 6 feet down. You can go 12 feet, that's great. Just exploring the sensation or the imagined sensation of what it would be like to grow your tree roots down into the earth from your feet. Growing down into the front, down into the right, 6 feet down and out, down into the back, behind you, down and back behind you, exploring that space and ground behind you, underneath your chair, down and to the left. And then we form a taproot, just like a plant. And that taproot goes from our root bundle now that we've got growing through our feet, all the way down through all the layers of the earth, connecting with the very center of the planet. Reaching down, 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 down. It's a big planet. So give yourself time to get down there. There we go. And you're rooted now to the center of the earth. Truly grounded. Now that we've got our roots down there, the earth can reciprocate. Core is core. With every inhale, just like a plant breathes through its roots and exchanges with the earth, we can breathe through our roots and exchange with the earth. And breathing in through those roots and letting the earth energy, which has a golden color, come up into our legs with each inhale. It might move faster than you think it will. So move into your legs, into your knees, breathing it up through your hips and legs, into your spine, up through your abdomen and your chest, into your heart, over the top of your head, down across the top of your face, and down across your arms and into the palms of your hands. You might notice that your hands feel a little bit heavier. It's perfect. If you ever wanted to stop this meditation and just do 1 through 4, this is a great hookup just by itself. And just breathing into 4 is core, breathing into the earth and letting it reciprocate into your body. 5, alive. Now that you have energy in your hands, that energy is. Make that energy a little bit bigger. So imagining that earth energy can come up through your body and down out through your hands. and like big golden globes of light. Six is thick. Those big golden globes immediately open, light up the room around you in every direction. All of the room is now filled with that golden light. All of the particles in the room have come in contact with your earthly inner light and lit up just as much. Seven is heaven. Now that we're rooted down in the earth, we're going to go meet up into the heavenly celestial realm. So we're going to grow our whole body up through the ceiling of whatever room you're in, so that you're looking down on the roof of the building that you're in, growing up so that you're looking down on your neighborhood, growing up now so that you're looking down on your whole city, still connected, feet are still connected to the earth. It's an important part. You guys stay grounded as you go up. So you're just growing bigger like a giant. There we go. Looking down on your neighborhood, on your city, on your state maybe. And to the point where your waist is at the level of the clouds and your head pops up above the clouds looking out into outer space, into the stars. Eight is gate. We're going to use the breathing capacity of our skin and all of our pores to open the pores and receive information from the stars. So imagining that you can breathe with your pores and that they open when you inhale and that they close a little bit when you exhale. And when they inhale with you, it breathes in the energy, that silver light from the stars comes in you from all directions, nourishing the skin and enters the body and organizes itself right along your spinal column. So breathing in that starlight, and it's mixing in your body with the golden chi from the earth. We're pulling in the silver chi from the stars, from the heavenly realms, from God, from Source. And it's condensing now, mixing together with the gold and silver light in what the Taoists call the Tai Chi pole. And that's a central channel that runs right in front of the spine, all the way down into the center of the earth, and all the way up into your personal pole star or soul star, where all the information that you need for your life is located. Nine is shine. Got that energy condensing along your central channel. You're going to give an intention to that energy. Something that you want to share with the world, or that you'd like to receive for yourself, or that you'd like someone else to receive. It might be the same thing. For me, it's groundedness. And put your intention in your heart and feel that intention. Assign that intention to all of those little particles that you've gathered together from the heaven and that you've gathered together from earth. We're going to send it out in every direction around you from your heart. One big swoosh. And that goes out into every corner of the universe. And because it's all reciprocal, it also comes back and nourishes you. In the perfect time. I'm going to have you, to close this meditation, I'm going to have you take your hands together and rub them together Place the left hand on your heart and the right hand over the left. So that they're right over your heart space. Left hand touching the body, the right hand over the back of the left. And then we're going to move both of those hands down front of the body to right below the belly button. And if you know how to take a belly breath or a diaphragmatic breath, we're going to take an inhale. And breathe into that space right behind your hands, right inside your body. It's your center of gravity. The lower dantian. Grounding all of our energy into our center of gravity. Pulling the heavenly chi down with every inhale, pulling the earthly chi up with every inhale, and centering it right there in front of our hands, right below our belly button. I'll give you about 5 breaths here in silence. When you're ready, slowly open the eyes.
I love that. I know we did that the other day because you wanted to show it to me. And yes, same again. That's just this beautiful connection. And as you say, this is a something that can be done before something. So if you were going,
even if you
on,
do it at the beginning of your week once.
You know, but I imagine doing this before I spend time praying, before I spend time reading the office or doing some study. As you say, you do the same. This can center us really, really well and open us up to what it is that spirit wants to say to us in that moment.
Absolutely.
It's incredibly powerful. Rhiannon, it has been a joy having you with us on the Monk on the Mic podcast today. Thank you so much. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
I think for the global community, probably Instagram.
Okay.
Also, my website is always available. Instagram is really fast. You can always send me an email through my website as well. I have a course coming up, actually, the elemental on these practices of elemental embodiment and what they mean for us individually, and how to live them more in more of a balanced way.
Right. So we'll put those links up in the show notes. And if you want to connect with Rhiannon either via Instagram or at her website and talk about that, do that. What's the date for that course?
We start March 18th, and there'll be another one later this year in the fall.
Okay. Or for Australians in the spring. So.
Oh, or for Australians in the spring.
For those at the bottom end of the earth in the spring as well. So, Rhiannon, thank you. And, yeah, please avail yourself of what Rhiannon does and the wisdom that she shares and the learning that she so openly has. She's got some great stuff on Instagram, which is where we've connected for the last couple of years. And if this is something that interests you and you want to use it to augment or expand your understanding of things where you are, I can't think of a pair of safer hands than
Hmm.
Rhiannon Henry. So thanks so much,
Thank
Rhiannon.
you.
And
You're welcome. My pleasure.
hopefully we'll have to get you back another time to talk about some of these other things that we didn't quite to get to go too deeply into. We'll do that some other time. Thanks so
Sounds
much.
good. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you go. We covered a bucket load of ground in that episode, so you may have to come back and listen to that again. If you have a look in the show notes, you'll see that I've tried to give a bit of a guide to where you'll find particular themes in the episode, so feel free to use that. But take what has been talked about here, put some of it into practice, get outside bare feet, put your hands in the ground, sit beside the water, sit out in the air, breathe deeply, see if you can reconnect with nature and the earth and see what it does for you. And have a look at some of the resources that are around. And if you want to stay within the Christian tradition, the Celtic Christian tradition is probably a great place to start. Although there is some work, as I mentioned, Marshall Davis and Monk Damascene of the Orthodox tradition have both done work on the relationship between Christianity and Taoism. And I'll put links to those things in the show notes as well. So with that, my friend, may you go, may you find connection with the earth. Remember who you are and that you are one with all things in God and with each other. And may grace, peace, and love go with you every step of the way, this day and every day. Amen. Thank you so much again for all your support of the table at monkindocs.podia.com. Keep coming in, visiting there. Keep the suggestions and messages coming. We're building a beautiful community, and I thank you for being a part of that. And make sure you check out Rhiannon's stuff through the links in the show notes as well. Peace be with you, folks. We'll see you for the next episode of Monk on the Mic. And don't forget episode 8B, where you can find the meditation all by itself. Enjoy. Peace and love.